Welcome back. We've got Louis with us now. Hello. Young Louis, who was there from day one, then disappeared and come back again.
Yeah.
Louis is now a trainee teacher.
Yeah,
at Cambridge University.
Welcome.
Yeah. Louis, the veteran of teaching in Israel.
Oh yeah.
Thrown in the deep
that was
end.
An experience.
Yeah.
I'll never
somehow
forget.
I don't know. You went from zero to hero, and then back to zero.
Back to yeah. Back to zero. I'm going back home. Where
it was
not
an interesting,
so warm.
It was an interesting experience.
It was
Sunshine School.
Sunshine School. Yeah,
yeah.
Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Give them money. They really need it. They're a lovely school. I'm hopefully going to go out there at summer. Actually,
yeah.
I say that now. It depends on.
Money.
Yeah, that depends on.
Well, your dad's here.
And
your dad's, you know.
Yeah,
Dad will pay for it. Of course. No, I've learned not to rely on parental funding.
Good, that's a good skill.
Yeah. I think by 25, you should be able to stand as much on your own 2 feet as you can. To be fair.
That's right. Anyway, moving on from Louis, we had a. When we met about 2 years ago, we had a chap called Justin Peters here. You remember Justin, who came here, and we actually filmed it because it's actually on YouTube. And we've had thousands of people have
really?
Been,
yeah, really, yeah,
I think up to about 4,000 on
if
one
I,
of the
if
one
you
of the
Google like some of our names on Google Images, it comes up like a frozen bit of that
Justin Peters.
Yeah,
Justin Peters came here very eloquent about his. His position on the charismatic scene, particularly in referral to Benny Hinn. He's a chap that's actually done a PhD on Benny Hinn, which has got to be a first, and has been a thorn in the side of that particular ministry for years. He came along here as part of a tour of the country. We got hold of him, and we talked about the faith preachers, mainly. Mm-hmm. Well, that sort of, the whole area has sort of come into the foreground of the sort of the international Christian scene, in that they had a conference a few weeks ago called Strange Fire in America. It was John MacArthur's group who were running it, and it became very controversial, so much so that it seems to have split the church in America because of this, say, headline that's has gone around the web saying American pastor says charismatics aren't true Christians. Now, John MacArthur is someone that me and Monica have been listening to for donkey's years. In fact, Monica, for her, he was always her favourite preacher. He had a radio, still got a radio show called Grace to You, which is on Premiere and a few other channels. And the teaching is very sound. Some people call him the evangelical pope, you know, for want of a better word. No, but that's the way he. The standing that he's had in America over the years has been of the highest, but to come out with that sort of pins his thing to the mast. I've forgotten the word. And colours to the mast. Whether he actually said that, I don't know. It seems very extreme that every charismatic, in his opinion, aren't true Christians. And we know that he comes from what we call a cessationist background, which we now realise was also Justin Peters' view, although we didn't talk about that at the time. And just thinking, isn't it interesting how Christians can just sort of be so diverse in their views? And that has caused, you know, a major fracas in America. And I know there was particularly someone from the charismatic side actually came, you know, a teacher, one of the leaders, went to the conference to confront him on it.
And was that Mark Driscoll?
Yeah.
Well, he's not like a super charismatic.
No, he's not.
Not at all, but he's just not a cessationist. And one of the big things, so John MacArthur is still very friendly with people like John Piper and other guys who are pastors that are not charismatic, certainly not, but they're not cessationist. They'll say, look, these things will happen as and when we'll use prophecy in the church. So in fact, John Piper in his last conference had a guy called I forgot his name now, but he was he did his sermon on the Holy Spirit and preaching and prophecy, and the conference was intended to be uncomfortable because it was basically getting a lot of pastors together saying, look, we've dropped the ball on this, And that's still a guy that John MacArthur would be personally friendly and involved with. So I don't think it's a complete blank cut-off. But there is certainly, he's nailing his cousin's mast and saying that these supposed manifestations, I don't believe, are biblically of God. That's
fine.
His point.
You know, and we need discernment in some of the stranger things that are going on. But to actually blanketly, you know, seem to be saying that every charismatic now are, you know, we know a lot of charismatics, and to a certain extent we're all charismatic to some extent in terms of the gifts of the Spirit. So does that mean that no one has the gift of the Spirit? Prophecy in any form cannot exist. Miracles cannot exist. Speaking in tongues cannot exist. It just seems weird that a teacher, you know, of his standing would make such a blanket.
So the way MacArthur works with each of those, that he would say that they are for the early New Testament church age, because I remember speaking to a friend of mine, it's like a hinge. So during the book of Acts, we have a hinge between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and God is doing big things to make it known. So one of the things MacArthur would say is that tongues, when the Bible talks about tongues, it's talking about earthly languages, and when Paul's talking about a tongue, that's like a false version of it, which is, so that's one interpretation that they would try and use to say that when Paul's talking about speaking in a tongue, he's using it almost in a derogatory sort of mocking sense, in the same way that we would say, oh, you know, someone fell over. So tongues for him would be earthly languages, which was used at the time of Acts primarily to get the gospel out, and now we don't have that so much. Now we don't need it.
But in Corinthians, I mean, Paul's talking about people, you know, in conducting meetings about those with tongues.
Yeah.
Isn't he talking about a spiritual language there?
So which were...
Oh, I can't remember.
I was
the Bible scholar.
If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or
kind of symbol. In 1 Corinthians 15?
Are you talking about order in the...
14?
Yeah. I'd rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so that the church may be edified. So again, the argument would be that in this case, this is still the early church times. So this is a specific thing. So they'll look at things like when perfection comes.
So what John MacArthur is saying is that we can't take the whole of the Bible and use it relevant to ourselves now.
He would say that once the canon of Scripture was done, the spiritual gifts were not needed in the same way, because now this is our final and only authority.
That means we can't read 1 Corinthians and apply it to ourselves.
We couldn't take things about tongues and go, that's for us now.
Yeah.
We'd have to say that was for them before the scriptures had been sorted out.
So you think is that what God intended?
Paul says, I speak in tongues more than anyone else, or something like that. Does that mean that he speaks more earthly languages than anybody else? I mean, how can you interpret it as earthly languages? What's the sense of it? I would think Paul probably had all the earthly languages in that region anyway, wouldn't he? You know, most people were multilingual at that time in that part of the world.
Yeah, it just seems a little bit extreme, this particular view. And it's not just tongues, miracles. How many miracles? I mean, what about all the revivals, the Welsh revival and every other revival that's been on for the last 2,000 years? You know, and Moravians.
So he wouldn't be against revival, but he wouldn't be, like, not at all.
Yeah, but there'd be miracles in revivals and healings, you know, and tongues and...
Prophecies.
The famous writings of Jonathan Edwards talking about, you know, the laughing and the joy and all of those things that are associated with Toronto that he witnessed, and he writes about in a positive way, saying, you know, have experience, you know, these experiences come with it. And I think there's a book that I got, I think it was one that John Piper sort of came out from that time, he talks about him a lot, the experience that counts.
For me, I mean, the whole idea of the cessationist, when it first came in, through my knowledge of history, if I can remember it from one of my earlier books.
Always a plug.
It was a reaction that Martin Luther and others had against what was going wrong in the Catholic Church. The reason why the Reformation came was because there was just so many ridiculous sort of spiritual, in inverted commas, proclamations from the Catholics about, you know, the relics and the miracles and praying to saints, and it just got to such a ridiculous level that that he swung totally the other way and saying, you know, as we can see the established Catholic Church misusing all this, let's just say that they don't exist anymore. It just seems that it was a total sort of reaction to the excesses of the Catholics.
It's a good a good way to close a sort of that kind of experience and era, and isn't it?
Yeah.
Just to clear it out and start afresh. Let's have no nonsense. Let's say, well, they're not for now.
But that's just his opinion, though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Is a lot of it came from an emotion, came from his own intellect, rather than, you know, a way of reading the Bible in the correct sense.
I mean, you know, this is not a glib, you know, both views are done with very sort of careful exegesis. It's not just like, oh, I just don't really want it to be around.
No.
There's good arguments on both sides.
You think so, because he's a major scholar. Stuff. He's a major scholar.
It's interesting when you read through his commentaries on chapters like Corinthians 12, Corinthians 13, he really goes into massive detail on what he believes a tongue separate from tongues and why this is this and this.
But it still brings us back to miracles and healings. Mm. You know, they happen.
Yeah, I think you can say that there were different interpretations of when the, you know, at Shavuot, Pentecost, when they were speaking in different languages, they were able to speak in different languages, so that all those Jews in diaspora
Know the reason for it.
Yeah, for that.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can talk about that.
Well,
The other consequence of all of that is that if God doesn't give the gift, who's giving it?
Very
true. Yeah,
who's giving it?
We can understand. Yeah, there's counterfeit, but even then, it's a counterfeit of God still working today. You know, in a positive sense. Yeah. So I'm sure there's healings and tongues from God.
No, I don't know.
Also from the devil.
No, but I don't know whether MacArthur believes there's no such thing as the ability to be healed or the ability for miracles in that sense. I think he's talking specifically about the things like prophecy will be a big one that he will not like, and tongues, and then on top of that, the wider sort of more left centre things that have gone on over the last couple of decades in America.
Yeah.
But I think so. For him, he would say, and for him, it's all linked up to the authority of Scripture.
Yeah.
So for him, absolutely, prophecy is a big issue because if this is sufficient, we don't need any more.
No,
And tongues is an issue because if as he argues, tongues is just an earthly language thing, then again, its primary purpose was to get the gospel out in those first, you know.
But you five can or see, but you can see that, you know, you can see the truth in that it was needed to bring out the gospel, but
whether that was all it was, and whether
but we can actually argue that we still need it
here today,
especially today. And
today it's more of a worldwide thing. No, it started there, and it went out from there.
Yeah,
today it's global, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if it was just earthly languages, why would there be a gift of interpretation?
I think
that doesn't make any sense.
I suppose the argument there would be,
well, you need it if you're speaking to like someone from Glasgow.
I suppose the argument was there. Let's say someone gets up and speaks in a tongue, it's another earthly language that maybe speaks to three or four people in the church, but the rest of the church still don't. But I know. It's not something I necessarily agree with. But I think of the two, I listened to a guy to someone said, beware the two extremes. Mm. I think, you know, I do take the bit of Thessalonians, you know, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Mm. I think I'm more prone to do that. Mm. I think there's a, I think it's about discernment, and it's about God's word being top and everything else following.
I think it sounds to me like it's a whole rebalancing going on, and the subject is being looked at rather than, I'm a charismatic and I've got all these, you know, and other people being, you know, to me it does sound like a rebalancing is going on. The subject is being brought centre stage rather than people accepting we're charismatics and they're not.
We've certainly opened up a discussion, because I know as a result of that, Mark Driscoll invited him to his conference.
Did he?
Said, yeah, I saw it was an open letter. It's a little bit showboating, because if he's going to invite him, he's not going to put an open letter over the internet that everyone can see. But that's just Mark Driscoll for you, isn't it? But it has opened up discussions, and we are, well, the fact that we're talking about it, and in a sense,
there's a good
actuality.
Well,
you know,
basically, it leads to what our Foundations 5 is going to be about, the Word and the Spirit. Yeah. Because, you know, we got one of the most popular thing workshops that we've had in the last two or three with Joe Jones's workshop on worship. Wasn't what people would expect, just how do you worship? Do you play guitar or piano?
Yeah.
It was about the use of, in fact, you should,
well,
you know more about it.
It was basically word study, looking at Hebrew words and sort of root meanings of, she picked on particular scripture in Hosea, possibly chapter, I won't say, I can't think, I don't even know how many chapters there are on Hosea, 12 I think, I can't quite remember, yeah. But it was quite a good solid teaching, expanding what it is to worship God with your whole life, you know, your mind, your will, your emotions, your desires, your walk, practically, physically, spiritually, everything, you know, worship encompasses our whole life, so, you know, it was way, not even way beyond, it wasn't, you know, about
but she had a practical
music
aspect
time.
it was a practical aspect to her teaching as well, wasn't it? About, it's all just sit in the quiet and is God speaking to you?
It was
you
just like, yeah, listening, yeah. What is God saying to you from this?
So, and, you know, if John MacArthur had been there, he would have walked out.
Would he?
I don't think so.
It wasn't, about manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Mm. It wasn't specifically about the Holy Spirit. It was just about about God and worshipping God. I don't think you could say it wasn't a particular bit that she was taking out. It was let's look at the whole thing.
Okay.
So I don't think they would have, I don't know John MacArthur, but I don't think there would have been anything he would have objected to in terms of experience or practical. It was just like, we are spiritual people. We can hear from God. What has God said to you?
But what you tend to find is those who are sensationalists come from the Reformed background.
There are more that aren't than are, not
from a Reformed background.
There are a lot of people in that world that are not.
Yeah, I'm just saying is that they wouldn't call themselves, say, spiritual people. You know, the worship is very formal.
I know it's generalising liturgy
and very liturgical.
What I'm saying is there are these
two tribes, isn't it? Yeah, and it. Is it down to whether you're extrovert or introvert? Extroverts become charismatic. Introverts become...
To be fair, I would say John MacArthur is very extrovert in many ways. Like, he's not extrovert in like the sort of, you know, crazy kind of way, but, you know, he gets up and he says stuff and he says it loudly and boldly, which is the mark of an extrovert.
Yeah.
And he's obviously not. I think primarily when you look at all the major pastors in sort of, if you look at it in Reformed land or you look at it in Evangelical land, wherever you want to look at, they will all hopefully point you to verses and to explanations as to why. You know, they will have got it from the text.
Absolutely.
To some degree.
Yeah, because it's sola scriptura for them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bible alone, nothing else.
At the highest authority.
Yeah.
I think with people like John Piper and Mark Driscoll, who have spoken out against cessationism but are quite sort of prolific reformed-y people and are charismatic, but I think the difference there is they would say this is not a regular thing. So John Piper will talk about God speaking to him and saying this happened to me once, in a real way, and hasn't happened for like 10 years or so. And he says, you know, the effect of it is it's brought me even closer to God's word. And so they would be people that would say, look, this is not like a daily minute by minute occurrence in that
so maybe
in this sort of
maybe
sense.
This is what John MacArthur's seeing. He's just seeing meetings are getting more and more extreme. They're just getting more extreme.
Together, there's all these
and everyone's prophesizing
and I don't know how much detail you've gone into the article.
Not at all.
Because there are some things that I actually agree with in that article
about extremes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There are about three different statements that he makes that I totally agree with.
Our
tendency is to overanalyze things and to pigeonhole people. And
it's just this headline says American pastor says charismatics aren't true Christians.
Yeah, which is obviously
be,
a sensational.
Yeah, it could be the headline maker. Might be.
Yeah.
Did he actually say that? I don't know.
No, it's quoted. It's quoted in that article, where he has alluded to that some people aren't.
Yeah.
within in that movement. But I think he's looking at the extremes of what.
But the extremes are getting bigger, isn't it? I mean, because the TV ministry is becoming bigger.
And he denounces. He denounces a lot of the big ministries that we would say you know that's not right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, the focus on big meetings. You know, the difference in like living your daily life and seeking God, seeking the Holy Spirit. Mm. Will God speak to me or use me to speak to someone today, as opposed to like your expectation is for the Sunday meeting?
Yeah,
you know, that's right. It's a bit of a difference, isn't there?
Yeah.
God is manifesting himself and led
by the person up the front.
That does happen sometimes, but I mean, but people do it every time we gather together.
Let me just tell you about the meeting I went, because I sort of introduced it in the last one, but it was Mike Fryer's thing, Father's House. The actual, I went there, I was a speaker there, and it was a Saturday congregation, so they actually call themselves the Father's House Sabbath Congregation. So you go there with preconceptions, and it's going to be very Hebraic, very back to the law, it's going to be full of ritual and all that stuff. Well, it wasn't at all. Really? And when it was, it had this sort of mixture of the Word and the Spirit that was so refreshing, because Mike himself, the leader, wasn't the man at the front manipulating people. The worship team were basically leading the worship in a very sort of flowing sense. It wasn't, now, here's our first song, here's our second song. It was very flowing, which is what we try to do at Foundations as well. But while that was happening, people were in the congregation, and these people were from all different backgrounds and ages and whatever. And some of them were getting pictures and words and Bible verses and all that. And all Mike was doing was walking around with a microphone, and when someone had something to say, they just said it. And it was, there's no manipulation, it was no big preacher at the front saying the Lord says this, and it just seems so natural. But this is the Holy Spirit manifesting through tongues, through prophecy, words of knowledge, etc. And you know, and when I hear John MacArthur, and I can see, I agree with what you're saying about the big speakers, but when you see it in a small scale and you see how it's helping people and how you can see the love in that room and the sense of fellowship and growth. And if he's speaking against that and saying, I'm sorry, but the Bible says that doesn't exist anymore, and yet I see it, that troubles me.
It brings up the main issue, which is what is the ultimate authority and how to interpret it and what's true. Because I think it's a good issue to look into and study a bit more, because it is a... because that's the whole point. The whole point he's making, which is, I think, a very fair point, is that actually on the crazy, right up at the end, massive, super charismatic preachers, if it's based purely on that experience, then the person right up the front in the super mega meeting can make the same argument. I've been there, I've seen it, blah, 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 I've experienced it. And so I think what is right is that we God's word will be an objective, true standpoint on the issue.
Absolutely.
And obviously there comes the issue of interpretation, blah, 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 blah. But it's worth looking into, because this will, God's word will tell you whether it's right or not.
But you'd find a charismatic theologian. Let's say Chris Hill, for instance.
Yeah.
Interestingly, comes from both traditions.
Yeah.
Reformed and charismatic. It'd be great next session to bring him along and talk about that.
Yeah. No,
but he would show all the verses for him that say that the gifts are still here.
Yeah.
And you know, that's his opinion. That's his opinion. Yeah. You know, what do we do as the laity? and it's, we need to know. You know, and when these big men make proclamations like that, it can be very dangerous for Christians who don't have the knowledge, the Bible knowledge, to actually, discern for themselves. And, and it can turn a lot of people against charismatics for the wrong reason. Yeah. And
also, I wouldn't want people necessarily to turn against John MacArthur.
That as well. Yeah.
And I mentioned to you before we put this on, he is the only guy in Reformed land that is very solid on Israel and its... Yeah. prophetic role, and he's probably done quite a lot.
Well, Monica as well, you've got a long background with John MacArthur.
I don't know him personally.
No, I know, but he's been helping.
Yeah, I mean, going back 15, 20 years, I was listening, to his evening broadcasts, and my goodness, I gained so much from them. He's just terrific. I've got so much respect for him.
Mm.
It's very possible. It's very possible to listen to someone that you don't agree on everything with. Do you know what I mean? It's very because also, you know, if you met yourself 5 years ago, you'd probably find that you disagree. You would disagree with yourself.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, this is normal.
This is what Foundations is about, though. It's I think, you know, you can sum up that we're like watchmen. We're looking at what's happening around, you know, in the Christian world with teachers and, you know, when people are coming out with, and but we're not judging and we're not saying who's right and who's wrong, but we need to explore.
Mm.
And we need to, I think that's what Foundations conferences are about. We're not afraid to look at issues and discuss them, not fall out about them and over them, but to keep looking at scripture and you know, the worship workshops and things like that. You know, we want people to go deeper into their faith and in their relationship with God, and to grow, not stand still, and not also be confined by church experience or, you know, where they find themselves or tradition or background, but to actually be courageous and step.
Yeah, because we make just find a mixture of so many different backgrounds there. And when we have the worship time, you know, with Joe, who is very charismatic, to actually, and as I'm in the group with her and you as well, Kate, you can actually see how people react. Some people standing up, waving their arms in the air. Some are sort of sitting down with their arms like this. You know, but no one walks out.
People outside of their comfort zone sometimes, but within a secure environment, which I think people, you know, appreciate.
Yeah. Mm. And that needs to be a safe place.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, we've always said that.
When we had Kit there and Foundation 3, he made a big stress that this has to be a safe place for everyone. Because, you know, sometimes people react negatively if they're taken out of their comfort zone.
Is that the newest member of Saffron Planet?
Youngest foundationer. Well, he is. He came to the last conference. We registered him. He was 5 months old.
He's now 6 months
old. I think that will draw us to an end for this particular conversation.
Okay.
See your baby.